worship you. We hallow your presence in this our gathering here today. Thank you so much for your presence that we can sense and feel. We do not take it for granted. Thank you for these fathers of the house by which they have created this open heavens so I may fellowship and commune with you upon the mercy seat. We do not take any of these things for granted. But Lord, as I go into your word, I bow down before you, the Yahweh of Judah. And I also duck under the covering of my parents, pastor and mommy. And I put my confidence in your mercy and grace flowing through their covering today. As I speak, you happen to speak as an oracle of God. That your word will go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Spirit, doing an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds well enlightened by the revelation knowledge that comes from the word, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Help me to be concise and preserve not to say things that are necessary. Grant me mercy to be a faithful steward, bringing out our treasure of your word, things both new and old, as described and instructed unto the kingdom. I receive grace to redeem the time. Lord, Holy Spirit, I set you at my right hand. Come and have your way. Cause the name of Jesus Christ glorified and all sons of men to bless and edify it. We worship you, the Yahweh of Judah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. As God will have it, there was water at the well of Bethlehem. So I went and I picked the weekly daily rhema that came out today that talks about overcoming affliction. So while I enjoy us, enjoying us to please go back. I think it's been sent to everybody, you know, if you're on the mailing list, to go back and study properly because I believe it is a word in season. It's not just sense that we can send out something, but it's what God is doing. So I will enjoin us to please go back and read over and over. So as I put the title of my message, Chosen in the Fullness of Affliction. Isaiah 48 verse 10 in the Amplified Bible. Isaiah 48 verse 10. Put it in the Amplified Bible. Let's read together. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried and chosen you in the fullness of affliction. The question is, who is talking here? Is it Isaiah or God? So God now begins to explain to us where he's going to choose his people. And he makes it very clear. He said that I have refined you, but not as silver. This is not physical refinement by using natural fire. And he said that I have tried and I have chosen you in the fullness of affliction. From that scripture, we can see that before God can choose you, he will first of all refine you. That tells you it's something we need to know. Nothing to be afraid of. Our refinement must come because of the sin nature in the soul and in the body. So it needs to be purified. We need to be purified like the sons of Levi. I said in Malachi, you don't have time to understand. So that I have refined you and I have also chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Psalm 65 verse 4. I thank God for the confirmation that came for the sister and your friend, she was singing. He said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to what? Approach unto thee, that he may what? Dwell in thy courts, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. So it's not everybody that is chosen, but God wants to choose everybody, and we'll all be chosen in Jesus' name. So he said, blessed is that man that whom you choose and you cause to approach unto thee, and that he may what? Dwell, that is, you are permanently enjoying the presence of God. That is our destiny, that is our purpose, and by the mercy and the grace of God, we have all been called and will also be chosen in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, as I put it here, I say every born again Christian is called to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, but not every Christian is chosen. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. Everyone is called. The moment you get born again, either you know it or you don't know it, you have been called. And that calling, that's why we keep on emphasizing and screaming on top of our voices, like Paul says, warning every man, teaching every man, that may present every man. So that is the purpose of every born-again Christian, not to die and go to heaven. It's to be conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read together. For whom he did foreknow, he also did what? Predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be what? The firstborn. Say the firstborn amongst many brethren. Next verse. Next verse. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That is the purpose of every Christian. God has called us to be conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ and to obtain the glory of Lord Jesus Christ. Whom he also called, them he also glorified. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. It says that wherein he has called you according to our gospel unto the obtaining of the what? The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is very clear in scripture. You can't hide from it.
Are we there? He says, whereunto he called you by our gospel. To the what? To the obtaining, the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, you don't have to doubt, because God cannot lie. It's very clear. He said, it's the same glory that was upon the master that he has called you to obtain in this lifetime. He's not talking about heaven here. It is the glory, that same glory. It looks impossible, but it's actually possible. With God, nothing shall be called impossible. So that is our calling. God has called everybody. You see, but those that now obtain the glory are those that are chosen. And they are chosen in the furnace of affliction. Praise the Lord. Now, when people hear affliction, they begin to... But you see, as I was studying, God encouraged me. Because many of us, you know, don't let me let the cat out of the bag. But you see, God gave me an encouraging word, which we all know. Because when we hear the word affliction, at times we get panicky. What is going to happen? No. But it's good for me to be afflicted, as the Bible says. You see, because that is when you now see God move. The Bible says it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but whom that should. You see, if we keep doing this thing the way we are doing it, like wake up in the morning, we confess, we bind the devil, confess, and bind the devil, confess, Bible, like that, and the glory comes, we start bragging about it. That is the nature of man. He will start bragging, like, my hand has gotten me this. My hand has gotten me, like Job. So you see, it is not of him that will, even though I'm going to will. It is not of him that, even though I'm going to run, but of to God that sheweth mercy. It's going to take the mercy and the grace of God, like mommy normally says, finishing grace is what we need. And mercy to finish well. Praise the Lord. So and I said, only a few people go through that process of being chosen in the furnace of affliction. Are willing to go through it. Now, to summarize before I move ahead, what is the condition for being chosen? We need to know. So that will be our goal and what we follow after. Because surely affliction will come. The Bible makes it clear. So what is the condition of being chosen? I put it here and I want us to hold on to this as we continue the message. It is the decision to practice perfecting the love of God in the furnace of affliction. You see, it's very simple. It is the decision you make. You see, affliction will come. You can't stop. You can't wish it away. Either you understand this message or you don't understand this message. After a period of time, it is going to come. Because the Bible says, affliction and persecution ariseth for the world's sake. You don't have to do anything. It will come. But see, the consoling aspect is that, see, the decision, let's do it together. What is the condition? The condition is the decision to practice perfecting the love of God in the furnace of affliction is what determines those that are going to be chosen. You see, the moment the affliction hits, whenever it happens, and you determine in that affliction that, Lord, I'm not going to be offended, it's the decision of the will. You see, Satan cannot force you to give up. It's when you now make that decision, say, Lord, I'm not going to give up. I refuse to be offended. It is when you make that quality decision, then God now backs you with his mercy and grace, and it takes you through. Now you understand the Bible when it says that, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will not be offended. Mercy and grace comes, and it takes you through. The next thing is, sets the table for you in the presence of your enemies, and I now anoint your head with oil, and your cup over the spirit of that measure. So hold on to that fact. Make sure that you make it. I will make the decision to keep practicing the perfection of the love of God in the midst of affliction. It's very simple. Then mercy will come, grace will come, and it will take us through. That is very important. So that is, we need to hold on to that as I continue. So I put it there. I said, because if you don't make that decision, when affliction hits, two things can happen. Your faith can either fail, or that same faith can help you to perfect the love of God that never fails. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You see, we're going to make that decision. But I'm saying, you see, two things can happen in the midst of affliction. One's faith can fail, like he told Peter. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. He said, but when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. What is the end of our faith? It's the salvation of our souls. But I'm saying, the end of the commandment is what? Love out of a pure heart and of faith unfeigned. So when that faith is being come against by Satan through affliction, I follow him. And you make that decision, just a decision. God, I'm not going to give up on my hope. God releases mercy and grace. So instead of that faith to fail, that faith will lead to the perfection of the love of God. And in 1 Corinthians 13, 8, it says that love never what? Fails. That is why you cannot fail. Say, we cannot fail. Praise the Lord. Once we made that decision, we cannot fail. So, And Pastor defined it, that we daily rema today. What is affliction? I'll just read it. They are bodily and circumstantial difficulties that Satan, not God, attacks us with in order to discourage us from believing and acting on the word of God. I put it there, especially the perfection of the love of God. Let's say it together. Afflictions are bodily and circumstantial difficulties, let's read together, that Satan, not God, attacks us with in order to what? Discourage us from believing and acting on the word of God, especially the perfection of the love of God. That's why Paul was telling the Hebrews, he said that, cast not away your confidence, that has a great recompense of reward. So you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, what is the will of God? The love of God. You might receive the promise. So it is not God that brings afflictions. It is not God. Bible says God is not tempted with evil. Neither does he tempt any man. God is good. In him is light and in him is no darkness at all. We need to understand that. So before, let me just say something. You see, the affliction again is not what perfects you. He acts as a catalyst. He does not take part in the reaction. But he helps to hasten the perfection of the love of God. Are you following me? So it's very important to have that at the back of our minds. So, in that, Pastor said something, I'll just explain. I put it here. I said that affliction, I mentioned it, will always arise for the word's sake. Either because we are foolish, or we sin. Either we commit sins of omission or commission, or we are foolish. What do you mean by we're foolish? Ignorance. Bible says being alienated from the life of God. You see, either you know it or you don't know it. You see, that affliction will still come. Let me give an example. If somebody is ignorant of electricity and it goes to touch an exposed wire, the wire will not say, because he didn't know, I will not shock him. Do you get what I'm about to say? So he will still be afflicted. Do you get what I'm about to say? Now, if he knows, and then because of negligence, maybe he's working with the wires, and he mistakenly touches it, the same thing will still happen. I follow my train of thought. So that's the same thing, affliction. It will always arise for the word's sake. I said foolishness, either because we are ignorant. Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Destroyed in the sense that either they omit it, like we're saying that chapter in Bible, several times on there, or they are ignorant of it. It will still come. Praise the Lord. But thanks be to God, we are going to be chosen. Praise the Lord. So foolishness and ignorance, sins of omission or commission. Let's open our Bible to Psalm 107, verse 17. Psalm 107, verse 17. Okay, let's read together. Fools, say fools. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are what? Afflicted. So you see, one of the reasons why affliction comes, says fools. Fool, when the Bible calls people fools, it's not a derogatory term. It just means that that person is alienated, to put it simply, from the life of God. He can't see. He's not seen as he should see. So he's ignorant in that area. And it's also because of their sins are what? Afflicted. Psalm 119, we mentioned it earlier on, verse 67, says that, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now that I've been afflicted, I will now do what? Keep your word. So that means, and you know, because we're in a growth process, are you following me? There will always be afflictions because we are not keeping the word as we ought to. That is basic, because of growth. So there will always be something that was, but when it comes, what you do is you trigger that, that there must be something maybe I'm not doing as I ought to be doing. Do you get what I'm about to say? So, praise the Lord. So having said all that, you now find out what you are not doing as you ought to. Praise the Lord. So, but the good news, like I said, is this. I said that God has promised to deliver us from all afflictions. Say, God has promised to deliver us from all, say all, without exception, all afflictions. That is the confidence. That is, it's not a question whether I will come or not. Let's settle it's going to come. But the other aspect is that God has promised to deliver us from them all. So if the deliverance begins in your life, maybe you have 10 kinds of affliction are coming against you, and God removes 1, 2, 3, 4, you can start celebrating that, but he's going to remove all. You can rejoice in tribulation. I follow me. Continue to stand in prayer, knowing that God has promised to deliver you from all. So you can go to God and say, God, I can rejoice ahead of time. It does not matter where the persecution is coming from. You have said you will deliver me from them all. And the scriptures cannot be broken. Psalm 34, verse 19. Yeah, praise the Lord. Say many. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The born again Christian. But the Lord does what? Deliver them out of them all. Say all. That is what we need to know. Deliverance, Lord, leave the many afflictions. Concentrate on the deliverance from them all. Praise the Lord. You see, so God has promised to deliver us from them all. And then also we are in a situation, we are in a time in which different afflictions are coming upon the world. And God has promised in Ephesians chapter 3. He says that if you keep my word of presence, he says, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation that has come to try them that dwell upon the earth. So God has given us that promise, either individually or collectively. Praise the Lord. So that is very important for us to know. God is going to deliver us from them all. And I put it there just to give an example. Revelation, okay, 3:10. We all know 3:10, where it says that, you know, I've already quoted it because of time. It says that God will keep us from the hour of temptation that has come to try them that dwell upon the earth. So we're in the end time. That hour has come. It's not going to come. It has already come. But see, the hearts of men are failing them, fearful of things that are happening in the world. Praise the Lord. So I put it also here that when God delivers them from all these afflictions, he does two things, two basic things. He brings glory to the name of God. And it also sets us for promotion. Which we need to look at the end. Why would God allow this to come? Are you following me? So that God can get glory from what Satan has said. The Bible says it causes all things to work together for our good. So God gets glory when he delivers us. People say, I must serve this God though. You mean you went through this, and God. Let me give you an example. Just comes to my heart in a flash. You can imagine what would have happened when Elizabeth and Zechariah were waiting for children. Terrible affliction. Go to church every day. He said they were always faithful in their course. People have been wondering, aren't you tired? When are you going to give up? This same offering, you are offering this incense, nothing has happened. But the day that the angel appeared to Zechariah, nobody knew. It was only Zechariah that knew. But the day that God delivered them from them all, everybody knew. I was rejoicing. Same thing with Abraham. He was past their age to give birth. And I can imagine this woman calling the husband, Abraham, may father of many nations. You come to church, your wife calls you father of many nations. Everybody will laugh. I want to hear you. Father of many nations. Yes. Yes. That is the report. But the day that God appeared to Abraham and changed that name and gave him a new vision and everything, nobody knew. But the day that Sarah gave birth, everybody knew. So, what do you think will happen to God? People say, this is your God, I will serve him forever. So, but the example I have, that just came on the spot of the moment, is I put here the three Hebrew boys. Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. I'm not going to read, I just keep talking as it comes to me. You see, they were facing a very difficult challenge. You could never say that you should bow down. And the Bible says that thou shalt only worship the Lord thy God. So affliction arose for thy word's sake. The same temptation that came to Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration of temptation. He said they were not going to bow. So next night, the Nebuchadnezzar was very mad. He said, turn the heat of the furnace. We're talking about the furnace of affliction. 7 times. And the Bible says that, look, when they turned it 7 times, those that carried them died as a result of the heat of the furnace. What a terrible affliction. But let's look at verse 19. See, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and his form and visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times, more than it was wont to be heated. So you can imagine that kind of affliction that is coming in the end time. Yes, so. The enemy, Satan, had fired Nebuchadnezzar up. Next. Let's verse 25, because of time. 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. When he now saw what happened, you know, he answered and said, lo, say lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like on the Son of Man of God. The master appeared. What are we saying? You see, it does not matter if the Satan turns that thing up 7 times. The key is this: God has said, I will deliver you from them all. You see, if you read that, I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. When they got into the furnace of fire, they didn't just sit down. I see they were walking around. That's what you do. Start walking in the spirit. Don't stay in one place. Don't start crying. Start praying. Do you think they were not just walking? They must have been praying and communing with God right in the midst of the fire. They were neither in the fire. Before they got there, they were praying. When they got there, they kept praying. When they came out, they continued to pray. Praise the Lord. Verse 29. Let's see the result. 29. Therefore, God gets glory. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you know what God did there? The same thing he did for Abraham. So I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he separated these three people. He said, this was, he said, and he said, I'm the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Next verse. God took the glory. Then the king did what? Promoted. He said, promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You see, behind the affliction, which God doesn't normally tell us, is promotion. If God says, okay, this is not what you are going through, I'm going to use my glory and promote you, everybody will go ahead. But doesn't let you know. So it is so real. It's what you have imbibed in your spirit. Are you following me? That in the midst of that, that will come out. But God has given us the answer, like Pastor was sharing with me. He said, it is your decision in that affliction. You may not understand. It may come from anywhere. Just make sure, Lord, I set my will. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to perfect this love thing. Then God will now release mercy and grace to back you in this affliction. Then you go through it. Then you come out being promoted. That's how the Bible says. It's not Nebuchadnezzar that promoted them. It is God. Pastor, promotion does not come from north or the south. But it comes from the Lord. He said, he brings someone and sets to the other. Those that rose up against them, they were demoted. Yes. And God raised them up. So what Satan meant for good, God turned down for their good. So I put it there as we continue not to waste time. Help you, Holy Spirit. That affliction can do two things. I've already explained. I just want to put it down in writing. It can do two things. It can make the heart to become offended, say offended, or become more rooted and guarded in love. This is when affliction comes. The decision you make can either make your heart offended or make your heart become more rooted and guarded. And it is the decision of will. It's very simple. When it comes, don't be offended. Even though you're offended, don't be offended. Yeah. You see, even though you're offended, but don't be offended. Don't say, you see, why am I saying, let me explain. You see, when something happens, when something happens to you, I'm thinking to you, Paul and Silas, something happens. Like Paul and they just beat them mercilessly. Do you think Paul was not offended? He said, who is offended? I'm not offended. Did he say it? Who burns? I'm not burning. He was offended, of course, but he was not offended. You need to understand. You see, to say that you're not going to be offended is a lie. It's like saying you're not going to be tempted. But see, you choose not to. I'm offended, oh God, but I refuse to be offended. Then mercy and grace will back that decision up. That has to work. Honesty of heart. That is it. Honesty and truth of heart. God, I am offended, but I refuse to be offended. So I refuse to. So God now backs. Okay, you're honest. Well, Yoruba says, and you're offended, though. I say you are not offended. No, it happens. God loves people that are very honest. That's the only way. You see, the entire Christian that pastor has taught us, it comes down to two things: the heart, honesty, and humility. Once we are honest, God, offense, lele you. This is a prostrate offense. That is no one. This has passed the level of what I can handle. When you tell God that, they say, God, please have mercy on me. You said I should not be offended. I refuse to be offended. Then mercy and grace comes to back your will and takes you through. Okay, let's move on. So, we don't have to. We can put it on the Bible. Just quote Luke 17, verse 1. The master said, he said, it is impossible, but the offenses shall come. It was the master that said it too. He said, my word, the spokes I speak to you are spirit and they are life. They are still living today. And heaven and earth shall not pass away. He said, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that what? Offenses will come. But woe unto them to whom they come. But so it is, to say they will not come is a lie. I follow, but you don't be the child of offense. But there are some people that will bring it. Because of course, we are growing in the body. It will always come. The world will bring offense. Even the master will also offend you. To try and check your heart, like that Syrophoenician woman. Said, it is not meant to give the meat of the king to the dogs. She was offended, but she was not offended. She said, master. That's why the Holy Spirit comes, you know. Who told she was not offended? Your child is about to die. And you call the person a dog. And she's been following him all the way and following to the house. But you see, that is the offense is a stepping stone for God's promotion. When you handle it right with honesty and humility. So offense is a stepping stone for God to promote you. When you handle it with the right attitude of honesty and humility. God now use that message to turn the situation around. So Mark chapter 4 verse 16. Help me Lord. 4:16. Mark 4:16. Let's read together. The parable of the sower. Talking about. Say that. And these are they. That likewise which are sown on stony ground. Who when they have heard the word. Immediately receive with gladness. That word. That we are talking about now is the perfection of love of God. I'm going to walk in love. You know, when you hear this, I pray love never fails. You know, blah, 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 blah. You are so eager to walk in love. Yeah, so you receive it with gladness. Next verse. And have no root. Say, have no root in themselves. And so they endure but for a time. Afterward, say, afterward. When what? Affliction or persecution arises for the word, for the word's sake. Immediately, say, immediately. They are offended. Is either affliction or persecution, whichever, is coming against the word. And it's that word of love we are talking about. Praise the Lord. So and I put an example here to explain. You know, we mentioned that at times fools are afflicted because of their ignorant transgression. So as I was meditating, God gave an example of John the Baptist in prison. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 6. You can read it. Call of time. You know, he did something that was right, yet it was not right. Because you see, the most important principle part of love is wisdom. What did he do? That why they put him into prison? He went and spoke to Herod and said, "You don't have a right to take your brother's wife." Accurate prophetic word. He just slammed it on Herod. Bah! Herod said, "Okay, all right, we'll see who's going to win." Luke chapter 3, Matthew 11 verses 2 to 6 describe that situation. You know, no. So it talks about when he was in prison. I don't have time to turn the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. But okay, this is when Jesus Christ sent to him. Luke 11 2. Let's just read Luke 11 2. Say, now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Next verse. Next verse. Lord have mercy. And said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Offense, Wally. It's like you are married, you marry for how many years? And then your wife or your husband does something. And say, I'm not even sure about this marriage again. You're laughing. You don't know, postcard is offense. It can happen not in the home, it can happen at work, it can happen when you've seen something that is so clear. And then something occurs that makes you stumble. That's why I say you need the mercy and the grace of God. That's why I must say, this husband has offended me, oh God. But have mercy on me. God's okay, it is true, you are honest. Then we'll give you grace to continue. Yeah, I'm not saying your husband will not offend you in Jesus' name. It's not a prophetic word, though. So, what am I saying? He was offended, right? Now, why was he offended? Luke 3:19. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Luke 3:19. Luke 3:19. Please hurry up upstairs. Luke 3:19. Luke 3:19. Okay. But Herod, this is probably the tetrarch, being what? Reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wives, and for all the evils which Herod had done. Next verse. Added yet this above all, that he was shut up in prison. Shut up John in prison. So we see. This in the same Bible says, told Timothy, said, reproof, exhort. But there's a time to reprove, I have to keep quiet. You know why? The same Herod was just trying to add a confrontation with him. Luke chapter 13, verse 31. But look at the master's response. Are we there? Says, the same day, this is the master, there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart, for Herod will kill thee. Next verse. And he said unto them, go ye and tell Herod. Did he mention his name? So how can they come and arrest him? That's wisdom. He said, go ye and tell that fox. Behold, I cast out devils and I do cures. Today and tomorrow. And the third day, I shall be perfected. Could you hear the year? But he that has an ear to hear will understand. I follow him. And he said unto him, go your next verse. Next verse. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and to do and today for him, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish out of Jerusalem. So he was talking about Herod trying to kill him. I get him because they finally took him to him, right? Next verse. Next ververse. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Okay, verse 34. Okay, let's leave it. But the point I'm trying to make is, look at the difference. They were exposed to the same temptation. But one master walked in wisdom. But John the Baptist did not. Why? Because of a humble heart. See, he said, learn of me. You know why? I mean, but he never learned of a master because he didn't submit to him. So he carried that anointing and rebuked Herod. Said, okay, no problem. Prophet Anime. And he made things so bad. You know what he did? Herod was the one that disciplined him. It was Herodias. Can you imagine? Not Herod, though. That a woman scorned. Yeah, thank you. So just transferred. Okay, Herodias, you deal with him. Now say, okay, no, he's too small. I'll use this little one. Yeah, you get, go and dance. Deal with him. But look at the master. The master said, go tell that fox. So the people were in the congregation that day. He said, he didn't make a fox like, boy. Foxy. And then, you know, he master moved into prophetic. He said, today and tomorrow, I cast out devils. He cannot, third day, I shall be perfected. So, Herod, are you a fox? I found a plan to say, wisdom is the principal thing. So, that is what got John the Baptist into prison. But see, the issue is not even getting into prison. It was the attitude in prison. If you had said, like we said, oh God, I made a mistake. I should not have. You know what happened? Mercy and grace would have flowed. They would have released him. Didn't God release Kenny in prison? Paul and Silas. Paul, didn't they come out and still fulfill their destiny? Peter. But our offense just locked him up. Because the only person that will allow mercy and grace to flow was supposed to be his covering. It was Jesus Christ. I was afraid. I said, are you the one to come or not? Because he didn't come and visit him. Was offended at the person that was supposed to deliver him, that was supposed to show him mercy and grace. The only person that could have washed his feet. It was only master who have washed his feet. The master must have washed his feet, but it didn't work. But offense just blocked the anointing. So mercy and grace. You know, he wasn't there for 1 day or 2 days or 3 days or 4 days. Remember, the master says, he will die for them all. But see, God gave time, space to repent. But when they got to a place that their heart was set in offense, then they organized a party. Then the dance came on. And then the lady danced. And then the next thing, they took off his head. They will not take off her head in Jesus' name. The second example, the positive example is Job. You don't want the example. What happened to Herod was child's play. Job's son, if you have Job chapter 1, 2 verse 1, I read to verse 2, 7 to 13. He suffered terrible affliction. All his children died in 1 day. Every business folded up in 1 day. Everything bad happened in 1 day. All in 1 day. No chance to even, and they are just giving a report. Like, you know, it's like, God forbid, you just a text message, you just read this one. Before you are, another one comes in, blah, 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 like that. And then to make matters worse, the only person that should have stood with him, his wife, said, curse God and die. So he had the opportunity presented to him to be offended at God, that God would allow this to me after all, I make her question, and then to be offended at his wife and then his friends that came to comfort him. Those basically are the three people you can be offended against. God, I get in your close, those you're in covenant relationship with, representing your wife. And then your friends that are supposed to understand and comfort you, they didn't comfort him. But Job chose not to be offended. Job 13, verse 15. This is what he did, though. He set his will. In the midst of the affliction, that affliction is terrible. Said the enemy came. I don't know what time they said. He put boils upon him. He smote him. Boils, pain all over. And what did he say? He said, though, let's go. Though he slay me, yet will. Say, will. I trust him. Trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. So you see, when that thing hits, you must set your will. Say, Lord, I refuse to be offended. Even though I am offended, I refuse to just be saying, I refuse to be offended. I'm offended. I refuse to be offended. Keep on saying that. When you keep on, that means you are being honest with God. Because God will always ask for your name. Say, what is your name? Say, Jacob. Offense. You say, what is your name? I say, no. I'm not offended. I'm sweet. There's no problem. Start binding the devil. You are bound already. So you must acknowledge God and say, God, I'm offended though. But God, let's face, this is postgraduate offense. This is beyond what I can handle. But when I tell God that, God now grants you mercy and grace. That is what Job did. He was offended. Who told you he was not offended? When your wife comes to you and says that, curse this God and die. In that, she preached a message to him that, Jebi, this is the same God you are serving that gave you all these things. He preached a message. What is Job's wife trying to say, for God's sake? He's trying to come against the word that says that godliness is profitable unto all things. That is the message he preached to the husband. That God is good and merciful. That is, if this thing is not profitable now, can you see now? He has given you, he has taken it away. So what? But we all know that it wasn't God that caused it. There was a loophole in Job's life. We all know that. I thought it was offering sacrifices, was committing sins of omission. We don't have time to find them. We need to know that so that we don't begin to imagine different things. So, what I want to put here is this. James, Job chapter 42, verse 10. Because he refused to be offended, God turned his captivity. Let's say that. And the Lord turned what? The captivity of Job. When he what? Prayed. Say prayed. For his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. That tells you that by this time, either his wife had died or had gone. Nobody to pray for the wife. He said he prayed for his friends. He said he prayed for his wife. He said, let's go. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his wife. He finished, my father had gone. And gave him, and also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he did. What are we saying? Simply put, God turned the captivity of Job when he washed the feet of his friends. Simple. That simple. Walked in love. John 5, verse 16. What I'm doing there. See, if any man sees brother sin a sin not unto death, he shall ask for life. Whoever offends you, as long as they have not committed a sin unto death, which is to deny or to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, wash their feet. Well, you keep doing that, God turns your captivity around. Praise the Lord. So, ask life for them. Now, help me. Why is this message important? It's very important. I put it there. Point number one. Many shall be offended in this end time and few saved because of persecution and affliction. Let's say together. Many shall be offended in this end time and a few saved because of persecution and affliction. But I can guarantee you, by the time you finish, we are all going to be saved. We are part of that few. That's what God told me. We are going to see later. We are part of that few. So don't think, if it is few, me that I didn't wake up to join Good Morning Jesus Christ this morning, am I going to be saved? Don't worry. You are going to be saved. Are you following me? We're going to see. So Matthew chapter 24 verse 9. Matthew 24 verse 9. Are we there? Matthew 24 verse 9. Talking about the end time. Lord have mercy. Then shall they what? Deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. As you start practice that love of God. Next verse. And then shall what? Many, say many, be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. That is a sign of the end time. Offense. Say offense. But the good news, Bible also says that Matthew 2:22 says that he said many are called, but a few are chosen. So you see, I keep repeating again, so don't forget what I said earlier on. It is a choice you make to follow on to perfect love of God. You may not have started doing though, but it's that choice that God backs mercy and grace with that takes you across. You must never forget that. I follow him. He says, it's not of him that willeth, not of him that honoreth, but whom God showeth mercy. Luke 13:23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, next verse, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, who seek to enter in, I shall not be able to. What are we saying? It's a straight and a narrow road. It's constricted. It says strive. Many will seek to enter, but they can't enter. Not because God doesn't want to enter, but because they don't make that decision to follow on to perfect love of God in the midst of affliction. Praise the Lord. So the second point I put here, I say God chooses gold and silver hearts in the furnace of affliction, like Pastor Clay was sharing some weeks ago. Hearts of gold and silver. So I say God chooses the gold and silver hearts in the furnace of affliction. Haggai 2, you don't have to turn there. God was speaking to Haggai through Haggai. He said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. So who is the owner of wood, hay, and stubble? Haggai, God said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. So what alone need wood, hay, and stubble? That's why God chooses so. In the furnace of affliction. Yeah. So the third point I have here is, I said, without the furnace of affliction, the impurities of the heart will not come up. The third point. Without the furnace of affliction, the impurities of the heart will not come up. It is that affliction that comes, that causes those impurities to come out. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3. Says that the finest pot is for silver, but the silver, furnace is for gold. So we are talking about the heart here. That parable I read about, that talked about persecution, affliction, arising for the word's sake, is talking about the ground, the heart. So it's the heart that God is after. As I said, my son, give me your heart. Give me your will. Perfect the will of God, Lord of God. Your will, your mind, emotions. Are you following me? So it says that the finest pot is for silver, but the furnace is for gold. Job 23, verse 10, in Amplified. That was what Job understood, that John the Baptist didn't understand. Job 23, verse 10, Amplified. Job 23, verse 10, in Amplified. Job was talking in the midst of all those afflictions. Job 23, verse 10, Amplified. Let's look at that. But he knows the way that I take. He has concern for it, appreciates and pays attention to it. When he has what? Tried me, I shall comfort as refined gold, pure and luminous. That's the glory of God. So when Job went through this thing, somewhere in the book of Job, he started saying, I did this, I did that, I did this. One of these, God started bringing out those things, those hidden agenda. For being in, so to speak, it could be ministry. It could be wanting to get married, whatever it is. God started bringing it out. God make sure he brought out everything, he purged him. So of all the eyes, of all the wrong motivation for doing what he wanted to do. So you can relate to it in any realm you are in. Either your job, either you want to say you want to finance the gospel, whatever you see, God will start bringing out that affliction. So every of those impurities, they will come up. They will come up. So when they come up, quickly scoop them. So that's why we don't have time to know the 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says that in the great out there are many vessels. Some to gold, some to honor, some to dishonor. He said, therefore, let every man purge himself. So that is where the purging takes place. When the affliction comes, you now begin to purge yourself. It's not a physical purging. You now use the blood, the word, and the spirit to begin to purge out that sin. Having therefore this promise, let us therefore cleanse or purge ourselves from all fitness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness or the love of God. I follow what I'm trying to say. So that's what you do. So the fourth point I have here is very simple. Say, it is those that are chosen that will carry the glory of God. But God has made it very simple. Say, just make up your mind that I'm going to grow through. So you can be part of that few. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. 4:14. Let's read together. If you be reproached, let's read together. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, let's read together. Happy are ye. For the spirit of God, glory and of God rested upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. On your part is what? Glorified. So once it happens like that, know that you have already been a chosen vessel. But every chosen vessel must be purified, like Job said, so it can come out luminous, shining. So when the spirit of measure comes upon you, you're not going to use it for fleshly reasons. That is why God has to purify. Can you imagine if Gehazi had gotten the double portion? Ah, yeah, yes, yeah, that is just the exact word. Ah, yeah. Yeah. No, you're laughing. Can you imagine if God did not try him and Elisha was not patient? That's why you see, you don't lay hands on people suddenly. You prove them. You try them in the forest of affliction so the impurities can come out. He was chosen. No, he was called, but he was not chosen. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So, what are we saying? I say, in that funny thing, let's open 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. In Amplified. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Are we there? Paul calls it light affliction. Say, for our light, momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us what? An everlasting weight of what? Glory beyond all measure, as we that measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. What's the glory? It's worth it, though. And God has made it so simple. So just decide, because you know that you can't go through it. That's why I said, even though I walk through the valley of shadow, I shall fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. That rod and the staff, they comfort me. If it's not there, nobody can go through it, though. You have to go through it. But because it's there with you, praise the Lord. Now, how do we attain unto this? It's very simple. But God encouraged me. We all know it. But when God brought that scripture to me, I was encouraged. I put it there. How do we obtain? How do we go through the affliction to obtain glory? You see, we stay under the covering of those that have perfected the love of God, because offenses shall surely come. Let's say it together. We stay under the covering of those that have perfected the love of God, because offenses shall surely come. Matthew 26, verse 31. He told the disciples, he said, tonight you are going to be offended in me. They were under his covering. But what saved them was that they did not go. They stayed under. That's why covering is very important. Of those that are perfected. So when that postgraduate offense comes, I follow me. They have already done their postgraduate. I follow me. They already were passed. So because you are under that covering, I will now shield you and carry you. Are we there? The master told us, then said Jesus unto them all, all ye shall be what? Offended because of me this night. Me there is the love of God. Are you following me? For it is what? Written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Next verse. Let's keep reading. But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Next verse. I want to get to something. Peter answered and said unto him, thou, all men shall be offended because of thee. Yet I will never be offended. Next verse. Bro, Peter. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. So don't say you can't be offended, though. They were under the master's anointing, though. So I said, Jesus said to them, verily I say unto you, next verse, 35. Peter said to me, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples, the Bible says, the lowly is wisdom. He already said you are going to be offended. If master comes, I say you're going to say, yes, so it's true. I'm going to be offended, though. But please help me. Honestly of heart. Listen. If he said you're going to be offended, and you go to and you're not offended, you have made him a liar. You don't get. The master says you are going to be offended, and then you go through and you're not offended, then you've made him a liar. That means his word did not come to pass. Let's verse 56. When the thing hit them, they were offended. 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Were they not offended? He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He had told them before. So he said, you're going to be offended. He said, I won't be offended. So they were offended. But like I said, what I want us to see here is this. Even though that offense came, because you see, offense comes when most times when you expect God to do it, doesn't do it the way you thought it would do it, or make it come to pass when you thought it. So it's easy to be offended against God. But you see, the good thing is this, is that Lord, though, I'm offended, but please have mercy on me, so I'm not going to be offended. So, but at the end of what I was there, because they stayed under the covenant of a master, they still inherited when they went to the upper room. So this transaction took place before when he was going to the cross. So, but he told them, but because they were not offended, they were offended, I follow me, but you see, they were able to get back. I get under that same covering, and they were able to obey his instructions and go to the upper room. So what am I saying? You see, if you stay under the covering of those that have perfected the love of God, because when you stay under them, because offenses shall come, because of their covering, they are able to help you. And that's why he told Peter, after, he said, Peter, I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. So he said, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. That is what covering does. It adds to what you are doing, which is not enough. It bails you over the affliction. So the second thing I put here that we have to do is very simple. Is that we have to watch and pray always in order to overcome affliction and temptation to be offended. I say it again. We watch and pray always in order to overcome affliction and the temptation to be offended and be more rooted and grounded in love. You see, when the affliction comes, it brings before you the temptation to be offended. It is real. But you see, when you watch and pray, because that is what you told them earlier on. He said, watch and pray always so that you don't fall into temptation. But you see, many of us, like I said, we are part of that few. We are watching and praying, but we're not doing it always. So it's covering that makes up for the always that we're not doing. So as you keep on practicing, which is the most important thing, just keep doing it. When you miss it, get up again, do it again. You miss it, get at it, washing your feet. So it's as you do that, and you are, most of all, I said, under covering of those that have perfected it, and then you keep doing it. It doesn't matter. He says four times daily, you know, at every opportunity and every temptation. At least I've been able to do it four times a day. That everybody should be able to do that one. If you tell me, many of us eat three times a day. So before you eat, you do one. After you eat your breakfast, you do one. When you have to do one. You have, I'm just saying, because none of us here, if you have told to take your medicine, we say you forgot. So you should be able to do four times a day, right or wrong. That should be something with you. And okay, but eventually you are not doing four times a day, or you miss four times a day. Stay under covering. So as you keep on watching and praying always, at least four times a day, at every opportunity and in every temptation, under covering. So when you miss it, covering covers. So the reason why you have to do that is this, because when you overcome that offense, what it does is this, it now helps you become rooted and grounded in love, which is what Job did. When he washed the feet of his friends, he became rooted and grounded in love. And then God now turned his captivity and gave him twice as much as he had. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, as we begin to close. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 3:16. Ephesians 3:16. Let's read together. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. You need strength to walk in love. Next verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. That is that word rooted. Mark says that when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, he said, because they had no roots in themselves, they were offended. So where are you going to take roots? In love. Say roots where? In love. So those are, so two things occur when they come. Either you are offended or you take roots in love. From Mark chapter 4. He said that when affliction came, he said that because they had no roots in themselves, by and by they were offended. So what you do when you wash feet is that you are becoming rooted and grounded in love. Let's go on Isaiah that says that the remnant that escape shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. That fruit you are bearing is love of God. We have time to turn this. Somewhere in Isaiah. So he said that be rooted and grounded in love. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Next verse. Of the love of Christ, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that may be filled with all, say all, the fullness of God. So are you going to mortgage this for offense? Like Pastor said, I put it there. I said, it is being rooted and grounded in love and not being offended that grants us permanent access. Say permanent access to the power of the Spirit without measure. God wants to give us permanent access to the spirit of that measure. So you comprehend with all saints. Say all saints. The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. So you begin to understand when brethren offend you. You're able to comprehend. But I understand. He's a carnal Christian. He can wash his feet. Begin to understand. You begin to have to comprehend. You understand what is going on. And then I cooperate with God. That's why he says, he says in the book of Revelation, he said, measure the temple. He said, leave the outer court. He said, and he gave me a reed to measure. What is God measuring? So God allows those things to come to root you in the love of God. That reed speaks about carnal Christians. They come and they measure you. They stretch you. You think you can endure. Then they do something, you have to stretch you again. You know, when you go to a tailor, they want to take your measurement. They'll say, yeah, okay. They measure the thing. You don't mind to say, I'm trying to use that as a natural illustration. So those Christians come, those read, they come, and then God begins to use them to measure your love walk. It says the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of love of Christ that passes all understanding. So God begins to measure you with those circumstances, those afflictions that come against you. But once you understand the process, and you make up your mind, and I'm not going to give up on this love walk, then the end product is God grants you permanent access to the power of the Spirit without measure. Last scripture, Psalm 119, verse 165, as you stand up to pray. That is the purpose. Psalm 119, let's go. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. When you understand what is going on, and then you cooperate with God and say, Lord, I'm not going to give up. I keep on working. Lord, then releases mercy, releases grace to take you through that furnace of affliction that He can choose you. That gives you a place among them that stand by. Being rooted and guarded in love. Let's talk to the Holy Spirit as we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Permanent access to the power of the Spirit without measure. Permanent! Once you are connected, you are connected. But the key is that you must be rooted and guarded in love. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Let's talk to God. Let's ask Him for mercy. Let's ask Him for grace. Let's purpose in our hearts to stay under covering. Because we are yet to perfect the love of God as we ought to. But God has made a way of escape to stay under covering of those that have perfected it. So when what I call postgraduate offense comes, because of their covering, they will help you like they helped Peter. They have prayed for you that your faith fail not. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. He not only prayed for Peter, he prayed for Paul, everybody. He prayed for them. And right now, he is praying, ever living to do what? Make intercession for the saints, able to save us to the uttermost. So we're going to make it. Say, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Praise the Lord. I will open up my heart, ready for your holy fire. And I'll let you into my heart, into my soul. Pledging my life, loving you is my desire. I will not be holding back at all, responding to your call. One more time.
I'll open up my heart, ready for your holy fire. I will let you into my heart and into my soul. Pledging my life,
loving you, loving you.
To your call,
loving you, Lord,
guarding my heart, loving you is my desire. I will not be holding back at all, responding to your call.
Let's put one hand on our hearts and raise our hands to heaven. Let's spread our love once again to Him. shall respond to your call. Many are called, but few are chosen. We respond to that call when we allow ourselves, by His mercy and grace, to go through affliction, perfecting the love of God. But say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. Say, your name will have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you have not only called me, but chosen me to be among those that carry your glory in this end time. Therefore, I set my will back by your mercy and your grace to keep practicing, perfecting the love of God whenever affliction arises for the world's sake. I also determine with all my heart to stay under covering of said spiritual fathers who have perfected the love of God till I become rooted and grounded in love, partaking of the bold anointing of the Spirit that measure under them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God.